Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No! And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish, and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
I just have one question for Jabri this episode. Is JoJo Siwa mad that you stole her look for this episode?
I think she is, and I kind of think the pink looks good on him.
It does, but I think it's hard to take him seriously in any way. And it's not just the pink hair.
Mom, I did have to laugh.
It infantilizes him even more.
Yeah.
It's not just the pink hair. It's the pink shirt with the denim cutoff.
I know.
That it's everything, and it's a fashion statement, but it also looks like one of the characters on that British show Skins. Like he could have been, but it would obviously be a gay character or some gay character on a British show.
He does look like the guy who would date the brother on Orphan Black.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, he's trying so hard.
He's trying so... And why do I like him? I do. I do like him. I like watching him. He makes me laugh. I do think he's a star.
He kind of exhausts me. I'm okay with his personality.
I get the feeling when he comes on, it's like the same feeling I get when I watch an old sitcom. Or something. I don't know what it is. It just
what? Well, let's follow up with it. What do you like about him?
Maybe it'll get annoying with me because it's different than someone like Ari or Benny. But there's like a just the complete almost like childhood innocence, but also the complete that he's grown and should know fucking better. Like, it pisses me off about Emily, but she's got a kid. And Ari and Benny, they have a kid. And maybe because he just is playing a child and really has no responsibilities, but who does he have responsibilities to? I don't know. There's just
all of these seem negative, though.
I know, but in a way, it fascinates me. And then he just seems he's just so likable to me.
Interesting.
I don't want to fuck him.
It's not that I don't think he's likable. I just laugh.
He makes me laugh.
Yeah. I think that's a different thing than like, though.
And maybe that it's just every time he comes on, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a good laugh. It's like, I know.
It's never a good laugh. Don't get me wrong. This is reality.
Oh, yeah. This
We're
is reality.
London.
Okay.
We're in London.
We're doing this.
London town. Londres.
We did it. We're doing part two now. You were already laying on your bed before. Now you're under the
now
covers.
Now I'm fully under the covers.
Are you just going to fall asleep?
It was a little cold. Well, as soon as you get over here, I'm going to text my grinder.
Oh, when I get done.
My Liam. Or
Liam.
Martin. Or
Oliver.
Brett,
that's an English
or
name?
Martin number two.
Oh, yeah. And lots of Johns.
Yeah.
A lot of Johns here.
Literally lots of Johns. No. Y'all.
I guess that's where that comes from.
Apparently, according to my hookup apps, London's the place for me.
I'm telling you, it's the nose. They all think they're going to end up fucking royalty. They don't know. They're just getting
and
country trash.
And they were right.
No, they're just getting country trash.
Mountain people. I play it up well.
At least my face looks trashy. Anyway. All right, everybody.
That I agree with.
This is part two.
Of the London show.
Of the London shows. It's hot in here.
Oh, I actually turned it down, or I turned the air off.
No, it's fine.
Because
I'm just taking off my cardigan. I'm fine now. Oh, that's why I love a cardigan. Put it on or
I don't think the word cardigan could ever be said gayer, but
it's
you
true.
Just said it
there
twice.
You go. There
cardigan.
You go. Y'all, if you're in, you're listening to this. Oh, man. Okay, we're recording this on Monday afternoon, but we're actually going to post it on Tuesday night, but in America. So if we post it on Tuesday night, are London sissies still able to get tickets to the meet and greet?
Yes.
They are. It's going to be in like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Y'all, you've got, yeah.
Yeah, our London meet and greet.
It's in an hour.
At the Old Queen's Head.
It's literally in an hour. If you've got.
But that's LA time.
LA time. That's true. So.
But if you're listening Tuesday night at 11 o'clock, you could fly to London.
Oh, I meant for the sissies in London. You're thinking of American sissies.
Oh, never mind. Who cares?
Anyway, we don't know what time it is. Just fucking buy
come
a ticket.
Come on and see us at the Old Queen's Head.
We've got some prizes.
We did not come up with that name.
We did not come up with the name. Y'all, but we brought some, I won't tell you what, but some prizes from back home. Back home over the pond.
And we're going to do some games.
Priceless prizes. Coveted.
Not really. Now, I thought about bringing my Suzanne Summers three-way poncho that's still in the box.
Oh.
And then I said, I can't part with that.
I don't know why you don't wear it more.
It can be, y'all, if you don't know the Suzanne Summers three-way poncho, it triples as a sweater.
A sweater.
It's an off-the-shoulder thing. Mm-hmm. It can be a poncho. It can look like a sweater dress.
Yes. I really think you and I both are going to end up selling something we've made to hawk on shopping networks.
I would love it. I love it that I know exactly what the box looks like because I think we bought it at Walgreens or something like that.
It's, yeah.
And the box shows when she's in the sweater, she's kind of like her hair is up. And then when she's in the sweater dress, she's got glasses on.
Yes. And then another they put it up in like a porn banana clip.
And you know what? How many women bought that three-way poncho? I guarantee you're listening. Your mom's got a three-way poncho in her in her closet.
Nigel's wife is now looking for her poncho.
Nigel, have you seen my Suzanne Summers three-way poncho? I know Chauncey has used it for a bed on occasion. Can you make me a cup of tea, please? I need to watch my gaze on the...
on the telly.
On the telly. It comes on. It comes on right after. Are you being served?
I am so happy that Nigel's wife has paid off. We never knew, but it has.
So, y'all, this is part two of episode. What was this episode called? We didn't even say.
By the way, Americans, come see us live this summer on our summer show.
Yes, come see us live on our summer tour.
This is episode six, Have to Turn This Car Around, which we've already talked about with Paul and Charda. I don't think we're going to belabor that point anymore.
Belabor.
But yeah, I don't want to damper.
Almost knock down that hotel arch.
I don't want to damper people's spirits.
No, dampered.
Dampered.
You don't want to you don't want the mood to be dampered.
Dampered.
Lord.
The problem is we've got to be careful, cuz if I make fun of it too much,
you'll say it.
Then it's like the other day I was going to say, and I almost said important, because
important.
We say it so much to be stupid.
It's very important for
important.
Me.
Anyway.
So first
Wait,
up,
does this show make us dumber?
Yeah, definitely. that's not even a question. I've got to say, just
you
not,
literally look like Agnes Moorehead in Pollyanna, where you're just stuck in the bed and can't move.
Pollyanna, come here, child.
Like, you just can't move from the bed.
Come give your auntie a kiss.
Yeah.
Can you open the door so his suitors can come bang her?
She really, I want to scissor with my maid.
Yeah. That's the one problem about hotel doors, y'all. You can't leave them open.
Well, you can. You can put the little lock
thing
in front
true.
Of it. That's how they know.
That's true. I guess they can just come on in, whatever.
But you're screwed because you got to have a key for the elevator.
Ugh.
It takes the romanticism out of it. Now you get why so many of those.
How can they find me ass up?
I know, why those gays who have hotel sex just get a motel?
Wow. Wow. Just grab a bottle of water on the little on your way out.
Yeah, there you go.
Because you've definitely expended some energy.
Rinse your mouth out with.
Wow.
Anyway. All right. So let's talk about
Jabri and Miona.
72 days to wed. Now, we are six episodes in, so we're starting to get an idea. I think they're going to get married.
Yeah.
I think they're a lock.
I don't think there's anyone so far this season who I'm worried about not getting married, with the exception of Ibn Muhammad.
I like that you said worried, like we actually get...
No, I don't really care.
Jake's up to sleep. Oh my God, are Emily and Kobe going to get married?
They will.
100%. They're not on this episode, by the way, y'all.
I didn't miss them.
So,
I was going to say... In our travels here, I talked with two different people.
Mm-hmm.
Just I felt like you, because they wind up talking to me first, because mm-hmm. y'all know I'm not gonna approach a stranger. It's just because I'm just too afraid to who I'm gonna talk to. Mm-hmm. But there are two people. We've made two fans of the show, and they were just kind of like talking to me. One was a woman I was sitting beside at the fish place at the. She sent me an Instagram message. She's like, "Oh my God, I watch some reality shows, but I just love your podcast for
that's wonderful."
I know, she was so sweet.
Now, but did they get 90 Day Fiancé here?
This was in America.
Yeah, because I don't know if.
What do you mean they did get it? No, it's on television here.
It is.
Or maybe you get it through Discovery app. I don't think it's on BBC or British television.
I don't think it is. And I think that's because Jake and I had to use a VPN to watch 90 Day. And I just I was interested, so I logged on to Discovery from like the British internet, and it's there's no Discovery Plus over here. It says coming soon.
Oh.
So I think it's probably going to come soon, and they're going to launch it with 90 Day UK. I wish they'd let us know, because we'd come over and do a live show when they do it, but they can't.
They'd have to pay for us.
But we, what? Oh, then we're not doing that. That'd be fun, though.
I like what you say. We'll just come over. It's fine. They're it's like, fine. We're not paying for anything.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We're doing it on your dime.
Doing it on your dime.
Liam.
Yeah. No, all right. They're not going to do it.
So,
fine.
Jabri and Miona, I feel like this is, you said
Mibri, Mibri. What's their name? Jabrona. Jabriona? Jabrona. I feel like Jabrona.
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 I'm okay with Jabrona.
I like Jabrona.
It sounds like Jabroni.
Jabroni.
So, you said 72 days. So, a substantial amount of time has passed.
So, that, when they, I wrote that down because I went, oh, everybody else is like on like a weekend. Not a weekend.
Yeah.
But a week into this. They're not.
Yeah. It's, I wonder.
This is
either,
like
either he had to be
weeks.
Away for something.
And this episode, she said he was away doing music stuff, but we don't know
yeah,
for how long.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Where were the Black Pearls going to go?
Or Serbs.
No, Serbs, whatever.
They were playing the state fair or something.
Black Pearl. That's
but not on the main stage.
People are freaking. I know nothing about this Johnny Depp thing.
Black Pearl.
I said Black Pearl. I thought of Johnny Depp. I'm not keeping up with it, but if y'all want to keep up with it.
I do not want to talk about this.
No, I'm saying it's in the sissy squad if everybody wants to come. I just found out one of my friends was
Kelly.
Mentioned in the thing. Yeah. Yep. Crazy. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to know. I don't care.
So why don't you mention it?
Because people bring it up.
Oh.
Send me things. If you want to talk about it,
it's
go
not
to the
that,
sissy squad.
It's not that I don't care.
Friend.
It's too involved for me to even.
Yeah, it's too much. I don't like watching trials. I can talk about that. Even OJ and all that, I don't like getting involved in trials. It's too exhausting for me. It's like soap operas for me. I can't watch them every day.
What is that? Not oh, that you're that's my chair.
The chair's
I was
creaky.
Like, I could watch the Michael Peterson trial from The Staircase with Fredda Black. He did you or did you not have relationships with these men? Because that's something, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that's not something you and I know about. You know, that's not something you and I would ever do. Y'all, if you're not watching Parker Posey cosplay district attorney or assistant district attorney Fredda Black, it is perfection.
What is this? What show?
The Staircase.
Oh, so The Staircase is about Michael Peterson?
Where have you been?
I didn't know it was about him.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know Parker Posey was in that.
I want to say, hello, McFly. Is anybody home?
Michael Peterson, that's the ones in Northern California and they like died out
no,
in the ocean.
No, you don't know what you're talking about. Michael Peterson was the guy, the staircase, that his wife either fell down the stairs or he bludgeoned her with the blowpoke or something else happened.
And that was in.
And it may have been Owls.
And he's the one that had. Is he the one that had no legs from South Africa? No, he's the brown-headed one.
I hate you.
We can't go into this.
People are screaming.
I don't keep up.
Your complete ignorance is baffling about this.
True crime.
The thing, it's not even true crime. No, this is a big HBO show that is in entertainment. And the thing is, if we were interviewed about entertainment, you would sound like a fucking rube. Lord, you please just read, like maybe read Variety or something. Do you? I don't know what to tell you. Well, maybe can you read it? Do you need me to explain what happens into it? I need to get you a true crime primer because you don't know the difference between between Henry Lee Lucas. Oh. And Lucas Haas.
Not familiar.
Neither of them.
No.
Help me, everyone. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Help me, Jabroni. You're my only hope.
You're my only hope.
Anyway, that's it's The Staircase. If you're not watching The Staircase, what are you doing with your life? It's fantastic on HBO Max. Unbelievable TV making. Even if you don't know the story, just how it's filmed, the brilliance of the time shifts that they make, it's really good television.
All right. Sounds good. No, I mean, I'll watch it.
No, you won't.
No, I can learn about this Peterson guy.
Or you could watch the Netflix documentary that came out in like the early 2000s, which was all about him.
Well, because that's when it happened, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was based on, this was a movie description of.
No,
of,
I remember talking about him in the news. I just never read it. All right, y'all, don't send it to me because I don't care. But all right, so why did I write? Oh, there's shit everywhere in this bedroom.
I agree.
You know, it's everywhere.
I liked it when Mahala went in and she's like, oh, you've been cleaning. She, y'all, I will say, we on the first episode we talked about.
She actually said, "It," and I wrote it, quote, she said, oh, it kind of looks like you were cleaning in here. It was way more passive aggressive.
But we were saying before, you were saying that you did a 180 on her because you now think she is sinister. That was the word you used. And I think she is extremely passive aggressive.
Oh, horrible.
I think she is intending to make Miona feel not wanted.
Yes.
But in a way that is somewhat underhanded. That she was, so it wouldn't feel like she was, and but also that the fact that she would always have deniability. But I asked her, I showed her how to use the washer. I did all these things, Jabri. I tried to make her like me.
I get
all that. I don't think she means. I think she would have done this to any woman he brought home
for sure.
So I guess that's where I'm worried. I don't think she's out to destroy this girl. I think she's just out to alienate her enough so that it'll make the relationship so difficult for Jabri.
I think that's sinister to do to your own child. I think that's a really horrible thing to do.
Okay, let's go a step further. Imagine one of your aunts did not think someone was good enough for their son, and they were doing passive aggressive behavior. Would you call that sinister still?
Yes.
Then I think we have different understandings of that word. Sinister means evil to me.
And so maybe I don't think it's evil, but I think it's. I think why I use the word sinister.
Can you use a different word? Because I'm not sure.
Well, let me tell you what I said. Yeah. The word sinister is so calculated and so cold and not caring about other people's feelings. And the fact that someone is a therapist.
Oh, we're both wrong. It's just telling me the movie Sinister.
You're looking at the definition?
Yeah. Giving the impression that something harmful or evil is happening. Yeah, I thought it was related to evil.
Evil. And I'm thinking of the word harmful, but I get that, how it could be seen. But to me, so yes, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying, I think when I was saying the word sinister, of literally this idea of knowing you are causing harm to someone you don't give a shit about and causing harm to someone who is your child. That is pretty deplorable to me.
Okay. Let me be devil's advocate. Is it devil's advocate to protect the interests of your child from someone who you in your head know is not good for your child?
That 101 of being a parent is letting kids fall on their own.
And that Jabri that is your...
Jabri literally told her that. She's not listening to him.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. I guess...
Also, too, the way she's going about...
I'm going to knock that over. Can you move that closer to you?
Yeah. You've got the whole other bed. No, I will not. I need to see that for the time. Because also, too, she can protect her child. without gaslighting.
I totally agree.
Being passive aggressive. They're just fascinating. Like,
I think we're talking about the same behavior, and I'm seeing it as in a more gray area, and you're seeing it as more as absolute.
Like, at least Mother Debbie,
yeah,
is just full on. I'm taking this bitch out, and she's so combative, right, and aggressive about it. But the fact that she is flat out lying to her son's face and gaslighting the authenticity of her son's relationship.
What do you think she's lying to her son's face about?
The whole conversation. She flipped that whole conversation on him on the end. It was horrible.
Well, the thing is,
made my stomach turn.
I can't believe I'm defending this one. I didn't want to. But I think the words she's using, all of that could be inferred. When you say lying, you'd have to prove it, that it was that she was lying about something. And she could say, no, what I meant was this.
She could say what she meant, all, but we all saw it. We know how she did it and what she meant. She's right. Lying.
Okay.
Do you not think she's lying?
About what? I still don't know what we're talking about.
The whole
about.
Conversation, like where Debris explains how Miona felt about the laundry thing, and she completely goes, that's not what I meant at all. And all, she's lying.
Well, what she said to later on, what Miona said was, your mother went through my laundry.
Yes.
That's not exactly what happened.
That's not exactly what happened. But it was, and I was like, I thought that was honestly fraudacity, because I was watching this happen and I went, what person would like pick up somebody's dirty laundry and look at their clothes?
I thought it was fraudacity.
I thought it was, until we see her reaction at the end.
Yeah.
And she just gets so angry.
I think it's not that I'm seeing this as less harmful. I just don't see this woman as the big bad that you do. But that's fine.
I think when we put our own selfishness of ourselves before our children, I think it's one of the greatest crimes that somebody can do.
I agree with you, but I'm trying to see it from this woman's perspective. She does not see that at all. This woman is saying, I have to get my son away from this terrible person. Like, so for her, she's being selfless.
Yeah, but I understand where she's coming from. I just am calling just bullshit on her.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is, to me, for her to be thinking, wanting to do evil, she would have to knowingly want to do things, even though it would be hurt him.
I'm shocked you can't see that. It's shocking. That is exactly what she just did of what I saw in that conversation.
No, I just don't see it that way.
I'm shocked. I'm kind of like, wow. Well, so let us know, because I can't. To me, that was so clear as day.
I still think we're agreeing on. I just don't think. I guess for me, it is the forethought of it.
You don't think she had forethought, or you do?
I don't think she did.
Oh, I 100% think she did.
Interesting.
I think she's so calculating.
So
again, it was really doing the collab with Stephanie from Rose Pricks that really changed my mind on her. But in the way she presented it to me, I just saw it clear as day to me.
But I still agree she's a terrible person.
Oh yeah.
Uh-oh,
the tricks are
calling. No, someone from Los Angeles is calling me.
Why are they up? Oh, they're up now.
But it's just, I guess I don't see, I see this as a family squabble about the mom being jealous of this, mm-hmm. of this woman who's her fiance. Mm-hmm. And I don't see it as this mythic quality that you seem to put into it. I just don't. I think this is not good behavior.
No,
it's not. And I think this is an enmeshed family.
Yes,
and I see it a lot more like, I'm trying to think of on 90 Day Fiancé, who has been even more
I'm interested to meet parents. Next week we meet her mother, his grandmother. At least I think it's her mother because she looks just like her. I'm excited to meet the grandmother and see what she's like, just to kind of understand the family dynamic more.
Yeah. I just, let's talk about the laundry scene.
Sure.
So I think this is where I have more problem with what she was saying. She said, Fiona had something. She's like, yeah, everyone here is trying to be fake. I'm like, that's rich coming from you.
I know. It really sucks to me that Fiona is so horrible online. And like next week we saw where she literally looks like she's trying to be someone who's of a different race.
She is a troll online.
She's a troll. Because on the show, I like her. On this, the way they're edited, I like her and I sympathize with her.
So there's one moment where she's like, I'm going to show you how to do. And I thought, I can see how this would not be, that this could be interpreted as a messy gesture. And I think mom knew this could be something where she could get her to do some more work. And I think Mahala always has plausible deniability.
Oh, yeah.
Of what
she always makes sure that she's not backed into a corner.
Yeah. And I see this as much normal, not that it should be normal, but this is normal mom behavior that I've seen from a lot of people. But I don't think it's right. It's toxic.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not surprised by it. But I think.
Because she just wanted to do laundry so she could talk about her clothes. That's
right.
For sure.
And what do you think? So she says, which
I don't understand. If you want to have that conversation about her clothes, have that with her and Jabri. Like, have that with your son.
Oh, I think that's not how she rolls.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So,
because she wants them talking back and forth, because if they talk about it together, if she talked about the clothes things with Jabri in front of her, then she can't call bullshit because right. Jabri knows what happened.
Exactly. Yeah. So they are, she said, I don't know about, she said, is that something for your hair? Well played. And she's like, it's just so little. And the mom's like, well, you know, I don't think that you should be maybe in Cedar Rapids. This is maybe not the best to wear. And I do think this is seems like it's fully intentioned to be nice, but it's not.
No, she's trying to, she's basically, she told, I thought she's just using the community as an excuse. It's about, I'm at least glad that she eventually talked about it made her uncomfortable. She didn't really say her. She said it makes her husband Brian uncomfortable.
No, she did not. She did not say that.
She insinuated that. No. I wish she would just say how she felt, but she doesn't.
She did not mention. She basically said, I worry about how that's going to be for Brian. She turned it on to her.
Yes,
so exactly. It really wasn't about. It's about.
So she literally is perpetuating. It's a woman's job to take care of a man's feelings. And a man's impulses.
That and men are incapable of controlling their impulses.
Yes.
Yes.
And so I'm just.
I know all that's despicable.
Yeah.
I should not feel that this. It's not good. I just think that this is normal mom behavior. Like toxic mom behavior, definitely.
Yeah, definitely toxic. And so, because, yeah, that's what she first, she talks about the town, people, and she says, she even does things like everything she says is nuanced in shame. That's what is that is the core of what really.
As a therapist,
Everything, and the fact that she has empathy because you have to, or she's the worst therapist in the world, because you have to have some empathy of knowing how someone feels. And you, the fact that she doesn't.
She does say, you seem really intelligent.
And that's what I was leading into, the whole thing of, you seem really intelligent. And if somebody's seeing you, that she doesn't say it, but she's insinuating, they're going to think you're dumb. And Fiona wrote, yeah, it gives me confidence to wear like this. And if people don't like it, I say fuck you to everyone. And I went, fuck. I actually yelled at my computer, yes. And then I went, oh, wait, you're a troll. I can't like you. Because she's so horrible online.
the thing is, she's coming off really well on the show.
Oh,
she's,
she is.
They're giving her kind of the star edit.
They really, really fucking are.
Yeah, and...
And then Mahala says to the camera, she's like, you know, if she chooses not to adjust this, it's just a deeper issue of disrespect. And I went, this has nothing to do with disrespect. It's that Mahala, literally, she is so self-absorbed. She makes it all about her. She is, I would say, she is just as self-centered as someone like Bilal. She just handles it way differently than he does. But the fact that I just thought, what does a woman's clothes have to do, and which I know it's this is the way it is in the world, but it just feels like if you're not comfortable in your own home, then be honest and say, I know it means nothing for you. It just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
Do you think it's a bigger betrayal for you that she's a therapist and she's passive aggressive about it instead of being outright? Is that why it triggers you so much?
I guess some that she's a therapist and has no empathy for someone. That's pretty shocking. But it really is the way she is, just doesn't really care about her son's happiness.
It's interesting. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I would have stronger feelings about her if the two of them, if Miona and Jabri, weren't such jokes. Because I feel like both of them are.
They're
jokes.
They're 100% jokes, but I think they both actually care about each other and love one another.
True. But I find that irrelevant on the show.
Hello,
irrelevant. Because I think both of them went on the show to be influencers.
Agreed.
And that's kind of why I don't have a lot of sympathy for either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a hard time when I see another person doing harm to them or kind of giving them a little bit to kind of showing that not really making anything just or evening things out for them, but kind of clocking them. I don't feel redeemed at anything because they're so ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's awful in her behavior? Do I think any woman or a daughter-in-law needs to be treated this way? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get really that uptight about it because these two people are laughable.
to me that has no bearing though on, for me, just watching it, and that just bottom line, a mother shouldn't treat her son this way. That's your child.
I agree.
And so whether they're laughable or not, to me, it doesn't make a difference.
So the next scene, he's there with pink hair. We've already talked about it. And he says, I'm pissed off that Miona isn't comfortable. You went through her laundry, which is not really what happened.
That's not, well.
And
we saw Miona at a flashback of her saying it. She did say, and maybe she went through her laundry more and we just didn't see it.
Right.
But if she went through all of her clothes, then they should have edited a snap cut of that. That would have been amazing.
And Miona just told him all about it. And I went, well played, Miona. And then mom said, she didn't seem upset to me. That was what the mom's takeaway was, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, she's wrote, yeah, because Jabri said also that's not a, I don't think that's a,
which is a good boundary to try to do.
Appropriate at all. And because Jabri keeps saying, which now I want to happen, he says, Miona has a temper and will end up going off on my mom. And I'm like, please let that happen. The way Mahala, when he says it to her, Mahala says, there seems to be a miscommunication going on. And he's like, Mom, come on. And she says,
maybe you're upset about something in your relationship.
She said, yeah, that's when she said.
That was awful.
She said, it's just, she didn't seem upset. So she, and then she even said,
like, Mom, you're fucking with my brain.
But don't, you gotta point it. But the things that she said that I was so, it, the fact that every mother, or not every, but like every parent can have some passive aggressiveness. The fact that she like keeps going in and twisting the knife, because she says she didn't seem upset. And then she said, looked at him and said, is that not, was our conversation not real? Because it was real to me.
Right.
It's, and she said, and that's where she said, Mahala then says, well, I'm concerned she's being fake with us.
Yeah,
she
did say that.
Is she not showing? So how am I, if she's being fake, Jory, then how am I going to get to know her?
Horrible. I agree. And I can see all of this. I think I just keep it as a distance, at a distance, because I don't take these two people seriously.
Like I said, yeah, but that has no relevance to me in this.
Yeah.
The fact that it's your, I mean, how.
No, here's what,
how would you feel if your mother talked to your brother this way?
In my real life, I would have a problem with it, but I mean, let me clarify why I'm saying this. I don't believe that these people have decided to live in their parents' house. If they really wanted to do, they really wanted to be somewhere. If they did not want this sitcom life, mm-hmm. that they're in, they would have moved somewhere.
Agreed.
He chose to live in. He knows his mother's going to do this. This was all almost scripted before we started. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah, he did say he was worried about his
that's
mother,
why
yeah.
I don't. I have a hard time getting really agitated about this. Mm-hmm. I just kind of watch it like I watch a sitcom. Mm-hmm. So while I think she's being, that's why I think this storyline has zero stakes for me. Because I thought from the beginning, I think Jabri said, you know what would be really funny? What if we go back and live in my parents' house in Rapid City? Can you imagine? And then I wear cowboy stuff all the time. And like, mm-hmm. we kind of cosplay. Can you imagine a girl from Serbia? Then we can get the band together and do all kinds of shit. That's what, when there's no stakes, I don't get upset.
That's, and we're inferring from that. That's what I think probably too, but we don't know that. If we're taking the show yeah. on just what the show is giving us,
right.
they do seem very much in love for it. And for to have this conversation and then flip the script, and then the mom even says, wow, is she always putting this much pressure on you, Jabri?
Oh, yeah, she got involved with the relationship.
And Jabri even says, my mom knows tricks of the trade. She knows how to do her therapy thing. And I went, no, this isn't, I am a therapist. This is not a therapy thing. This is someone who knows how to manipulate people.
And so he's like, Mom, I can't believe, he's like, I live a fast lifestyle. Yes, this is fast. I just have a hard time taking anything this person says as serious.
I know you keep saying that, but I don't think that has any, for me, it doesn't have any bearing for how a mother speaks to her son.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make that clear. I know, like, that's fine. But for me, I'm like, I don't care if he's not serious or not. This is your kid. And that we see this is why your kid, because you've babied him his whole life.
I know, I'm saying.
And if she let me finish. The whole point is she keeps saying, I need to take care of you. And love makes you forget things. And I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm asking you questions because I want you to have a partner that's good for you. No, you don't. You want to keep babying him.
Yeah.
That's why he is this. That's why he is fast. That's why he is fun.
Right.
The only way Jabri's going to grow up is to let him get fucking married, and if she takes him for a ride and takes him for all he's worth, and he gets fucking chewed up and spit out and on his own puts himself back together, he's got to do that.
I understand what you're saying. The reason why I can't get upset is I think he's acting. And I just, everything, all the stakes go down for me.
Yeah.
This person doesn't seem convincing in his own skin to me. Mm-hmm. And I think everything is a big fraud. And their relationship may be, but I'm saying if I don't believe their authenticity, how can I believe any of it?
I get that. I get how people can feel that way. That's not how I feel, but I get that. Because to me, I think the Benny, I say call him Benny because I was just thinking of Benny and that Jabri. It's like a Benny, but who has more talent and follow through, which is saying something.
You haven't watched their music. I renege on that talent.
But at least he's made music and like it's gone out on a tour. Like it's somewhat. At least he's like put in the work and effort. But the reason I compare both of them is they're both just fucking dreamers.
Yeah.
And so, to me, maybe it's fake. But I also watch it and I think. Jabri is that guy who always wants to, he is dream guy too. And mom probably wiped his ass his whole life and said, dream about whatever you want. But when it comes to a woman who's going to, I think this is totally just about, she's going to take away my son from me.
Yeah.
100%. It's her own selfishness.
I wish I could feel strongly about this, but I just...
I think that's okay. Yeah, I mean, we don't have to feel the same.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I agree with you. If all the things you were telling me were about something that I thought had real stakes, mm-hmm. I think I would be invested.
Yeah.
But I feel the marks of them massaging the storyline in a way that I've never felt with any 90 Day story that we've ever covered.
Yeah.
That everything feels curated to him taking her around town. I think the only authentic person is Miona. And I think mom is playing up everything. I think the dad is. Miona's just looking around because she's herself.
I mean, if she wasn't such a troll online, you do feel sorry for Miona in the edit.
Oh, I you
like,
do.
Man, you just don't know what she's getting into
weirdly,
at all.
She's the one I feel sorry for.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for Jabri. I don't. I can think the mom is awful, but I don't connect.
I feel sorry for Jabri that this is probably the way he grew up. That his mom always doing this to him his whole life. So he's complicit in it now because he doesn't even really, he thinks that's the norm. And that's sad to me because she would be a wretched person to live with.
I guess, but I think
she'd be in a lot of guilt.
I think that's looking past the reality TV lens.
Earlier when you talked about it feels like that he was like, both have done that.
But
like,
I'm saying,
influencers.
But I'm saying, even more than that, I'm saying that's why I don't feel anything because I don't think the stakes are real.
Mm-hmm.
So with reality TV, there have to be stakes, and there's no stakes here. Also, this is a spoiler, they're already married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's why there's no stakes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But would that change what you thought?
No. I think that probably mother's going to treat him like this forever.
The long and the short of it, I can't get emotional or I can't have
to
a strong
it makes
opinion.
It more real that they are married.
Yeah.
Like that actually makes more even stakes.
But no, I'm saying that's why all this is manufactured.
So
that's why.
I don't know. I don't think the way them, even like when Jabri, because Jabri speaks in dreams and metaphors and all this shit that she, and like when he said, you know, mom, he said, I know I live my life fast. He's like, this feels slow for me, actually, which is not true, but for him it does. And he said, you know, and he said some bullshit like, mom, life could end tomorrow.
Oh, I rolled my eyes so hard.
And I rolled my eyes too, but the way she took it then, I went, really? She goes, oh, that is so disrespectful.
That's a terrible
because
line.
Because when you fall and get hurt, it's the hurt people that love you. We're the ones that have to pick you back up and put you together. And I went, so sorry, Mother Teresa.
Well, I think
what
that's,
a martyr.
I think that's indicative of what she's had to. So I think maybe see it from her perspective. He's fallen and failed so many times. She obviously doesn't know what tough love is.
No, she does not.
So she's resentful of all the times he has, as he said, fallen, and she's had to pick them back up.
Yeah, and then she even takes it again. She's like, so how do I take him upsetting me and being disrespectful? How do I make that put fault in his relationship? Oh, I'll say, we have to work and put you back together, and I don't know if she can do that. Will she be there? Will she be able to pick you back up? Because, yeah, she's pretty, and she shows her breast, but what? And that's where he goes, mom. And she goes, Jabri. That made me laugh.
That's when we went into villain dialogue, and I was like, I don't believe any of this.
Mm.
No one talks like this.
If she really does, then if this is all fake on her part, she's a master actor.
I didn't say it's all fake. I'm saying the situation that they've created, and they're playing things up more. I just wonder, I felt this way for this couple that I've just kind of laughed at them, and they don't get a lot of serious discussion online for that reason, because I think most people think that they think, oh, this woman's a B for blah blah blah, and she is, but I think it's hard for me to get intensely interested in it.
Well, that's fine. I am for you.
or for anybody else. So I think that's all I have for them.
Yeah, let's move on to Kara and Kara. Baby G.
Woohoo!
Baby G boy, the woohoo girl.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
So, it's so nice to meet you, Guillermo. Guillermo, what's the worst thing you've ever said about Kara? And can you say it and I can remind her about it when we're out having drinks? Because I kind of want to have her as my, like, son's single girlfriend.
Hillary's a terrible friend.
She isn't she?
She's a terrible friend. Hillary is a terrible friend.
What's the worst thing Kara's ever done? Because I want to bring it right to the top of the conversation.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure producers want them to talk about this.
Totally.
Golly.
Just for clarification, the last thing I said spoiler alert. It's actually not a spoiler alert.
It was to me.
It happened, and I'm saying it did not. When I say spoiler alert, mm-hmm. that means something's going to come out in the wash mm-hmm. after the show. It's something we're going to see in the show.
Okay.
This is not a spoiler. Understand?
Yes. What would it be then?
I don't know. But this is something, this is more for Audacity that almost a lot of people reported this. Starcasm reported it.
Fast forward it like a minute if you don't want to hear this.
Again, not a spoiler.
Well, it spoils the show for people. When I think of spoiler, I think we have a different meaning for the word spoiler.
Spoiler?
For me, spoiler means you spoil what I'm watching and you spoil it for me.
A spoiler means you're going to spoil the end of the show, not something that's going to show that the show is for Audacity. In other words, y'all, they were married. I misspoke. They were actually married before they went on the show.
That's the rumor mill.
That is, it's been confirmed by several outlets. By several outlets.
Meaning Jabri and Miona were
That's why
married.
She went by the name Bell. That's his surname.
Miona
Bell.
She went by that where?
Before, like years before.
Okay.
And he said something about my wife.
Oh, there you go. So anyway.
So Karen Guillermo, y'all, they're meeting Hillary and Cooper.
Cooper.
Turns out Hillary's skeptical. And y'all, the first thing Kara does is like, how much alcohol has this got in it? I want to know if it's going to get me lit.
Yeah, Kara's like, you know, Hillary's my friend who's inquisitive and likes to know the dirt. Y'all, I'm inquisitive and I like to know the dirt. And I don't ask people this when I first meet them. It almost is like either producers wanted to do this or Kara wanted her to do it.
I don't think they have any real problems.
I don't think they do either. No.
I think she's getting a terrible edit the last two episodes for them.
She's not getting a great one.
Yeah, she's not well liked in the 90-day universe for social media. So Hillary starts on with like, I was a disaster at 23, which is a terrible thing to say to someone who's 23 across from you.
Also,
because you're implying you're a disaster, you just don't know it.
Well, and also, she didn't have to abandon her home country because
didn't have to grow up fast.
Just the amount of privilege she speaks with, and that she just it was a reminder for me because I've been in situations where just being, you know, you're talking to someone even in their younger 30s, I've said like, I don't mean something, but you'll know when you get older. But I'm like, I'm going to stop saying that because you really just don't know someone's experience. You really
That's
just
don't. That's true, especially someone like Guillermo.
I'm like, Hillary, when you were 23, you were trying to figure out like how you can go on a spring break with your friends in your sorority, even though you've graduated.
How you can
That was your problem.
How, like, we're going to get Paige and we're going to get Melinda, and we're all going to, and you're going to act like it's their room, and then we're going to stay with me at Burrell Beach.
Exactly. That was her
and
big
go
problem.
To the Zeta Tau fundraiser.
Yes.
And then go to the dance later on that night. Oh my God, remember those dances?
Where Guillermo's like, people are shooting at me. I'm going to leave my country.
And Guillermo basically says, they're talking about, he said, I don't like it when Kara drinks. And every time she drinks,
I know how it ends every time she drinks, which is not a... And Kara's just... It's interesting because Kara just sits there and listens. And
I mean, she's a woohoo girl, and she's not made... She sits there and listens because she kind of said in the first episode, like, she's all but said, I'm a woohoo girl.
Yeah.
So I think she owns it.
I know, but it's strange that it seems like it's something they've talked about and they're kind of okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and Hillary's like, so Kara lives her life on Kara's terms. And then Guillermo's like, sometimes I feel like she knows what makes me uncomfortable and she still does it. Which is, y'all, that's a vulnerable confession yeah. to make. And Kara's sitting there just smiling. And it's just, it's a weird moment.
It's a weird moment.
And then, so later on, Hillary won't stop, y'all. So what's your biggest fight?
And Guillermo's like, well, you know, once in the DR, she threw my clothes out on the lawn. And Kara says, well, there was a Canadian girl that he dated before. And, you know, he said sweet and romantic things to me all the time. And he said this one thing about, I don't remember, it doesn't matter. The moonlight on the water. And it was so pretty. She's like, and then when I went back and looked through his phone one time, he said the same thing to her. And thank God for Cooper went, wait. Still checking his phone? I'm glad that they glossed over that wasn't... Kara tried to act like that wasn't a big deal at all.
I liked it that they're making an excuse about using a line. Y'all, men don't have a lot of lines. But I have like three that I say all the time.
I fully expect that my current partner has said the same thing to X.
I know!
Y'all, you're not that special. None of us are. We're not that
Except
special.
For me.
We've all heard the same things. Poodle.
Enneagram 4. I'm on my cord.
How many men have said the same thing to you that you'll never know?
You know, I don't care and I don't want to be told. They're looking in my eyes and they're like, you're just so, you shine like a diamond. They don't say that to me. Shine bright like a diamond.
She had her baby. So anyway, I was like, come on. And so Cooper asked that question and Kara says, well, she says she's lying. He says, are you still checking his phone? And she goes, no, not really. I mean, just a little.
And then Guillermo, in a good way, says, well, I actually go through her phone too, but we do it together.
And she's like, yeah, she didn't
Y'all,
say that.
You know she goes through his phone through all his phone. The time, and that's not together.
I just don't get that. I don't get
going
that.
Going through phones?
I've never done it. If
that's a betrayal of trust for me.
If my partner, if he said he wanted to go through my phone, I would let him, but I'd be a mar about it. I'd give him my phone to give him that rope to hang himself because I'd say, you look through that phone and tell me if you see anything. And then he'd look for 2 hours and find nothing. And then I'd hold it over.
What if you had an ex's number and it was listed as something like, I don't know, Josh Big Dick or something like that. I just pulled that out. I think that's a listing in my phone still.
The way you put people in your phone. I bet when you just type the word dick, like 30 people come up.
Scruff.
Dick.
Less surnames.
Grinder. That's Dickety
how,
Dick.
That's how I classify them. I don't need to know last names.
Vaughn's Dick.
But I'm saying, what if that happened and it was a big deal? What would you spend the next time doing?
What if it happened meaning if they saw the ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
I would say, who gives a fuck? Look and see when I texted him last. I mean, I would have some.
And what if that, what phone. If, just not to invent, to invent problems, what if that was like them saying happy birthday to you 2 months after you were together?
They said happy birthday and I either responded or I just said thanks. Okay.
But I think I would be offended of the jealousy anyway. and
you,
what
you
that
be offended by the person wanting to look?
No, of questioning me about it.
No, yes, that's what I'm saying. I would let him look to hang himself to show him that there's nothing fucking there. Now, if I didn't want you to look at my phone, that means I'm fucking cheating on you.
I disagree.
Or well, no, but I mean, like,
it's a privacy thing.
No, yeah, but I'm just saying the mar in me, I'd let them look at my phone so to prove to them you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Oh,
and
I'm
now
the,
you look like an asshole.
I'm the opposite. For me, it's about you want to do something like this, that's crossing a line.
Yeah.
And that means it's not even if there was something to find, if you don't trust me, what are we even doing?
No, I'd let them do it once to see nothing. But, and then if they asked again.
But I'm saying just the idea that they would say,
oh, no, it's horrible.
You look at my phone.
I don't think you should ever look at somebody else's phone for any reason.
Because I just, and I think when
unless trust has already been broken.
Right.
But even then, like.
I think some people look at their wives and husbands' phone when they're just doing it. And I guess that's okay if you're married and things like that. I would not be comfortable.
I mean, some people are comfortable with it, and maybe so. So, I don't know. Come at us, y'all.
What if they saw, like, a text from that they were talking to a girlfriend about and a husband complaining about a husband, something that they wouldn't, and the husband got angry about something that was being said about him, mm-hmm. you know, that was supposed to be private. Nothing, I will say this, nothing good can come from other people looking at people's private information.
Yeah.
Nothing good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it breaks because there's a reason why things are private. And the reason why we should guard, we should have separate identities from our significant others or boyfriends.
Yeah.
And there should be things, we don't have to keep things from them. But there's a reason why we don't publish every conversation we have with other friends and say, oh, sure, I'm an open book. You can read it. And because I don't think that is a healthy attitude either. It just winds up punishing the other person.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, and I don't think that's healthy either.
No, it's not, but that's what I would do. I would punish them because I have no secrets. So it's like, there you go.
But I'm saying the concept of it doesn't matter if you
no, I'm agreeing
have
with you.
No
you
secrets.
Shouldn't look through somebody's phone.
But I'm saying it's the sanctity of your own privacy.
Yeah.
I think people need to be take ownership of that more. But I think people are like, oh, I don't have anything to hide. It's not about that.
No, I wouldn't just give somebody my phone.
Yeah.
Like, sure, look, it would be totally with malice. I'm letting them do it.
But see, I just wouldn't let them do it.
Oh, that's what? The marmy. I'd love him. Again, I'd love
but
him. Fuck
why would you? Why would you do it if you didn't want to?
To show them they were wrong.
I guess I'm thinking.
So then they could sit there and look at my phone and they go, oh, there's nothing in there. And I would say, and why would you have ever questioned it?
I guess. I would stop
because
that.
If you want to look through my phone, then that tells me.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not going to look through your phone. I just know.
Wow.
Thankfully, this does not happen in my own relationship.
I just don't. No one's ever asked me for that. Actually, one person has asked me, can we delete our apps?
That's different.
Then we were, and I said, yeah, I think we can do that.
Because your phone is your phone for everything.
Yeah. I said, yeah, we can do that. And then they kept asking if I had. And I said, they're not. I said, I haven't deleted all of them. I said, but I'm not signing in. Because we'd only been dating for like 3 months. What, I'm going to delete everything?
Did you actually, were you signed in still or no?
I was not signed in.
So, I mean, but that's such a good indicator for you to see, first off, 3 months in the relationship, like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. But it was, and he kept saying, I still think, he's like, I'm sorry, I just worry. And I'm like, that's all about you.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, that's a gay thing, y'all. Apps.
No, it's not. People.
No, I'm talking about gay thing with being on the apps, even when you're still.
No, it's not. That's a straight thing. I have a lot
really?
Of favorite. Yeah. It's like. That's a bit. That's sadly now a relationship step thing. They're like, we
delete your Tinder.
We deleted our Bumble. That's a big deal when people delete those.
Right. This was 3 months in when he asked me to do that.
I mean, if that you both felt like that was time for you to do that, then
I didn't.
Well,
but you know, I did say I won't
be
on it.
Why did you agree, though, if you didn't feel like it was the right time?
I wanted to give him that. And I decided maybe this is about me being afraid of commitment.
Mm. And then you realized, no, this was about me.
No, he's just crazy.
Finding out that he is crazy.
Yeah.
Which served you better. So that's good.
So anyway.
Kinda, I agree with Poodle. I think they just, I don't think they have a lot of problems at all. And she's going to get a, she's not getting the best at it. And bless her heart, there's just.
She's going to.
People are just going to come
I
for
don't
her because
think,
they do.
I don't think this is, there's no way that the producers knew exactly how they were going to treat her, and she is leaning into it. Yeah. And I don't think she doesn't know the reality of getting an edit like this on reality TV. Because number one, she's a pretty girl. Girls are going to come for her. They're going to want to protect Guillermo. And
she's pretty and she's smart. So there's just like, y'all, there's one thing we've learned from the show. It's not always this way, but we will, but I've just something I've learned is that it's like the difference. We said this like with Kim and Kyle, certain women will just go at Kim and at Kim and at Kim and not ever mention Kyle.
Yep.
And so it's just, Karen's going to get those type of people.
We also live by that privilege. Because
for sure.
And we know that as because
if
as
Kim
men.
Said some of the shit we've said on the show, some people would eviscerate her.
Oh yeah. So I one thing y'all and we of course hit on the ultimate trope of the show. You know, 90 days is not a lot of time.
Oh,
blah blah blah. And remember y'all, remember that the visa was not meant for to decide to get married. What's the visa was meant to be to get people
you
over there.
You already know by then. Now, granted, if you don't really live together, like, or because like Bilal and Shida, she's like, "Whoa, I didn't know this guy."
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Patrick and Thais.
Thais, they're on their way home from the and John Boston. John
and John, they're on the way home. She's like, "Oh, it's so beautiful." She's very excited. She sees the house. And she's like, oh, this is beautiful. But she doesn't. Brazilian sissies come at us because she says it's not normal for him to live with his brother like this. I should not have to live with my brother-in-law.
She's a princess.
She is a princess.
Yeah.
She's spoiled rotten. I felt like, but again, I don't want to be a dumb American and clump all Latinx cultures and together. Just, and I don't personally know anyone from
South American culture in general.
So it's so, but I want to, but my friends that are from South America, but different parts of South America, historically, generally, they are that family lives with other family. That's common. So I wanted to know.
Yes, but until you get married or move out.
And so it's that, so Brazilian sissies, first of all, if you're a male Brazilian sissy,
come at
me. Come at Poodle. And for me,
you're going to have to come on me, too.
Let me know, like, would you be bothered by this? Is Thais just being a spoiled brat, which I think she is, or is this something like
I
that?
I don't like her.
Because she acts like this is weird, and she doesn't say in my country, but she does say in America that you shouldn't have to do this. So
Can I say one thing about this? She's nice, kind of just kind of deigning to him. If I'm meeting someone's brother for the first time, I'm going to be sweet as punch.
I don't think she loves him at all.
Patrick?
No.
Interesting. Yeah. I kind of think that they do love each other.
I think he's head over heels with her.
Yeah, but you think she's just biding her time?
I think she is biding her because you, I mean, maybe she's just getting triggered by him in some way or whatever, but it's just like, again, it's, when you really love someone, this is not how you meet their brother for the first. Now, granted, they do talk a lot online.
Right.
But still, when you love someone, you go the extra effort.
And even if someone may be a
we
little.
We love someone.
There you go.
Set them free. Ooh, ooh, set them free. Y'all, he's just staring at me.
I would love to make a point without being interrupted by back throat screaming. Although I do it to you too, so regardless. So it's so interesting because you're coming into a family dynamic. She also must know that they had a harder time growing up.
Thank you for asking that.
This is someone who they supported one another in this.
Does she?
Maybe she doesn't.
That's my question. I wish we knew. Does she know their background? Because how can you? Because I think you're asking, if you know their background, how can you behave this way?
Right. And I would say, and that's the thing. If she is truly, if Patrick and Thais have talked about a lot of this, and she's like, "Why is your brother living with us?" All he would say is, "You know, my brother is my best friend. We've gone through a lot together. Please don't question that right now."
Yeah.
And that should be enough.
It should be enough. And if he has said that and she's still acting this way, then she's
even grosser. Oh, she's spoiled.
Than we
thought. I don't like her.
I'm not a fan either.
So, they get home and he's like, there's a little puffball dog. He's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Now, did you know what happened immediately? She just kind of left the dog. I told you, I don't think she's going to.
No, I don't think so. But I think they did talk about the dog.
I think
he brought
that
up
new,
again.
The stars of this show, of this segment of the show, are going to be John and that dog. I guarantee you, he's going to love that dog.
Oh, it's going to be his dog.
Yeah, I love you, you little you little mutt.
What's his name? Osborne?
Theodore. He's always by my side, Theodore.
John's like, is it champagne time? And so they pop a bottle, they have some champagne.
Now, do I think John might have, let's say, issues with alcohol? That's pretty certain.
He does.
Yeah, let's just...
Also, I should probably go to a Al-Anon meeting for this. That's not codependent part in me, but I feel sorry for John.
Me too.
Because I feel like John has no friends. And maybe that's not true or not, but the fact that, like, think about it. You would come home and meet your boyfriends. We both have brothers. Our brother came home, and we're not young. We know better. So we're our age now, which John is close to or older. And you, actually, I think he's probably late 30, whatever. Your brother comes home with his fiance, not girlfriend, but fiance from 90 days, and you know that they don't see each other a lot. You would meet them, and then what would you do?
Try to find a way to pick out what was wrong with them. This is a trick question.
That's why Poodle would be great on the show, y'all. But I probably would either meet them, maybe talk for like an hour, get to know them a little, and then be like, you know what? I'm having dinner with friends.
Oh,
I see.
Because
you know they want to fuck.
Yeah.
They want to fuck.
And they turn on the shower.
Instead, Patrick's like, we're going to go take a shower. You might want to turn the TV up. And I just thought, does John not have anybody like to go hang out with besides his brother?
I think John has
had... Because he moved down from Boston.
I think John's had a lot of hardship in his life. I think John's had a lot of restarts, if you know what I mean.
And I wonder, I want to say, well, does Thais know about his restarts? And she doesn't want to be codependent, but no, I do think she's just spoiled.
So the next time...
Her name's pretty.
It is.
Pretty. It looks pretty.
The next morning, he's like, I'm making breakfast. And John's like, she should be making you breakfast. Breakfast.
Breakfast. They did have the best sex of his life, according to Patrick.
I'm sorry. He doesn't know how to do it. I think he's a bad lover. She does.
He does.
And he said, so he's just drinking beer. Number one, this doesn't look like it's very, not that I'm defending.
Wait, what are you about to say?
Drink beer at 9 a.m. It looks a little later than.
Later said, who cares if I want to have a beer at 11 o'clock?
Right.
He said noon or 11. So it probably, he's probably lying. It's probably 10:30.
That's true. And do I'm not going to judge whether that's early enough. If you're on a Saturday, you do what you want. Now,
he just said it's his normal day out. I am going to, if you're having it, I think 10:30 in the morning is too, unless you're on vacation, not day off.
No, I get you. But I'm saying,
you're on a cruise ship, 8 a.m., do it.
Do you know Boston drinking?
Oh, yes. Yes, A, I already knew from the time I was in Boston, and B, I was at our live show. Sissies took it down.
I'm just saying, I'm not comfortable judging that the way she did. And she said...
I'm judging it now from a distance,
yeah.
But I would not judge that.
Right there.
Everything I can do not to sing Bette Midler right now, just so you know.
From a distance. That was gonna be good. The script. I remember playing on the piano, and my aunt said, "That is my favorite song you play, Jay Bird."
Which aunt?
Aunt Jane.
God is watching us.
God is watching us.
Did you?
God is watching us from a distance.
God is watching us.
God is watching us. God is watching us. And the way the song ends, from a distance. Do 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 do. That piano interlude was amazing.
Did you sing the song while you played it?
Maybe.
For Aunt Jane.
Maybe.
Wow.
No, I was too afraid. I was too afraid to sing back then. I played piano.
What other boys do you know played from a distance?
I'm sure a lot of them. And they were all Marys.
They were all Marys.
God, I loved playing from a distance.
Yeah, John just like, well, bless his heart. But maybe we're too tenderhearted in that if I move to someone's house, like to me, but maybe this is just I'm 43 and she's whatever, 23 or however old, she's young. You can't look at John and not see pain.
But
maybe
this is,
she doesn't see that.
This is her. Oh, you mean she would. You mean she
How
would.
How can your heart not.
I see.
But again, that could be my own codependency talking. But I don't think. It's still, when you're meeting someone the first time, I just don't know how
you
she
couldn't
see
it. You mean
the
fact that she called him crazy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even like. She full on went in judging him, calling him crazy. And shaming him.
And it's weird because, y'all, I think if this was anyone else saying things like, no bueno, this is not, because that's obviously Spanish, y'all, not Portuguese. Yeah. And I think I have such a soft spot for John. And maybe it's like you. I know he has a problem with alcohol. Mm-hmm. I know he's been through some trauma. And he's funny.
Honestly, for both of them, it's why... Patrick is my favorite person on this show.
Wow.
No, I it's what I said before.
He is more endearing to me now.
I think he's all heart. I love this guy. I think he's a sweet, sweet guy.
Oh,
and I think
Lord.
I think he deserves better than her.
And he's dumb as a dumbbell.
I don't think he's actually, I don't, I think that he comes off a little bit on the show. I'm not saying he's a brainiac. But he's a smart guy and he's a good, but I just think that he just, again, when I see Patrick, these two guys just want to be loved.
Yeah.
And to be loved in return. It's really compelling watching it.
Greatest thing I've ever learned.
What if I just got up and peed?
It's just to love and be loved in return. You can't sing. You can't sing the lyrics of Nature Boy and not want me to not sing it.
The good thing about doing, that's true. Good thing about doing, we have that toilet prompt right there.
Yes. So he's making food, and she's like, I'm going to make John some eggs. And she's just being a surly little thing about it.
Yeah.
She's like, no, but we're going to eat together. And I'm just like, John's mouthing off to her, too.
He is, but the reason why John is mouthing off to her is she already, from the word go, doesn't want to show any exertion on her part for trying to be included in this family.
Yeah.
She doesn't realize she's the one stepping into not a relationship.
Right.
She's stepping into a family.
Yeah.
It would be the same way of...
And John keeps using the word family. You're part of our family now.
John keeps saying it. John actually, I feel like, is trying to support his brother.
Yeah.
He even says that to her. Think about this. And if you're like, no, no, I don't think that's true. How would you... What if she was treating one of John's kids this way?
Oh.
That's still a family.
One of Patrick's kids.
Or Patrick's kids this way. Still a family. So
that's an interesting concept.
A lot of people will be really upset by that. And so it's just, and it's, I know it's a little different because he isn't a grown adult, but I that's why I don't think she knows anything about their past.
So, y'all, the stakes making.
It's a purse.
The stakes making a lot of smoke, and she's coughing like a
fake
cartoon. Of course, y'all, he flips the steak on the floor, and this is where we all could laugh.
Yeah.
If we didn't, she didn't start kind of like shaming John for it and saying, you're drunk. And he doubles down and says, well, just eat the steak, put some handy wipes on it. And you know, John gets triggered by when he's done something bad or he's feeling like a disappointment. And that's why Patrick's like, and Patrick tries to be the person in the middle and immediately becomes the caretaker.
Yeah, because it's fascinating just to see the family dynamic.
I guarantee you, John took care of Patrick as a kid.
Yeah.
And now Patrick's the caretaker.
Yeah. What did Patrick say? What did he say about their life? I remember it was rough, but he said their mother wasn't around.
Bipolar.
Their mother was bipolar. So, y'all... I feel like just knowing the bit that we've gleaned, didn't the mother have addiction issues too?
Sounds right. But John's almost like Patrick's brother and his dad the same way.
And he didn't have a relationship with his father. So that means John hasn't either.
Yep.
And so, or at least from what we know, it's just this whole thing of John gets, if their mother had addiction issues, saying he's an alcoholic, that's triggering him. Like, it's just... This is like fucking, what's that hick movie that we don't watch, that we don't talk about now because the author's so horrible?
J.D. Vance. Hillbilly Elegy.
Yes. But it's just like, they have generational trauma, and it's like Thais just isn't even aware of it.
And I think we could have if we kept it light and had fun, but it seems like... And, like, John is a hard person, so he's going to come on hard, and he's going to throw in F words and
insults. But if you joke with him, he'll joke with you. She's not joking.
And she's always trying to make him feel othered and not belong, and, like, and always their little clique. And she's so...
Then how do we feel about when they go to Putt-Putt? Because it seems like they kind of... started to have like a little bit of understanding, but they were kind of playing around. They were laughing.
Yeah. John says, it's a good dream to be kumbaya, but he said, I'll put the effort in if she will.
That's what I'm saying. He will. She hasn't done anything yet.
And y'all, I will say, he's blasted before they go to Putt-Putt.
Oh.
Yeah, because he's you can tell. Patrick's been drinking a little too, but John is blasted before they go to Putt-Putt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so I literally wrote the same thing.
He's talking, y'all, and Thais goes, I won! And it's like a fun thing, and that she goes, I think, to go to the bathroom and get another drink or something.
No, she's done. Basically, yeah. They're not done with the game. Again... They kind of brushed over this, and the guys didn't take offense to it, but they brought this out to include her and do something with her, and she was like, I'm done playing this. I'm going to let you boys talk.
Right.
So, again, it's her being selfish and just saying I'm done.
She says, then Patrick talks to John alone and says, you know, you were really a little hard towards her today. And then
Patrick says, I'm giving you the same conversation I told her. And he did say in his testimony that he told her, you got to give him a chance.
And y'all, this is what happens when John feels like he's backed into a corner. He's like, well, if I'm on trial, I don't trust you. I need to have my own interpreter.
Yeah.
And so you can just tell this is someone who always feels alone. And as soon as you feel like you're siding with someone else, immediately becomes defensive and plays. And that was interesting. This was, and as soon as they started, he was like, this is, I said, this is a compelling scene. And what was this? Oh, when we can't, he's like, we know we had some laughs, good times, good times. And y'all.
Nobody said we had, but he also said.
Bad times.
We had dark times.
And y'all, John just starts crying, tears dripping off his face.
He's a pretty crier.
I cried up.
You know
during
what,
this.
Too, I thought too, it's such a, what I, again, why like I wish like if John and his brother were in therapy as a therapist, you could just say from, to me, John is personifies, men can't say that they're scared.
Right.
In this 100%. Culture. If he was just, and sad.
Yeah.
If he was able to just say, I'm scared of losing the relationship with my brother, and I'm just sad about that.
Yeah.
And he can't.
He comes close.
They finally get there. But it is this just, what can men be, Poodle? What's the one emotion they can be?
Angry. And
that's why when Jake's having sex with a man and he starts to cry, Jake slaps him in the face and says,
hold
get out! Angry! Hulk out!
Come on, you pussy! This is not what we talked about. Keep doing the role play. What I thought about, he says, you're a good person. And we're doing what we can do. And he's like,
well, Patrick says, yes. Patrick says to John, Patrick starts crying. He says, I just want her to see that you're a good person.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He said, so maybe not drink a six pack before noon. So I think he did that.
Yep.
And he said, that's not the real you. I know you did this because you were stressed out and anxious about her coming. And Patrick's like, I just want her to know that you're such a part of my life and you're what a good dude you are. And it was like, it was emotional watching it because I don't give a shit about Tice. I don't really care that much about anybody else on the show now. Even Eve. Remember when we liked Eve?
It's the Patrick and John show for me.
I am rooting for John and Patrick.
Me too.
If these two don't make it through together, then Matt Sharp will have ripped my heart out and stomped it on the floor.
I totally agree. This is the most compelling couple.
100%.
And then throw in the dog.
Yes, and the dog. I want to see that road trip. And Patrick says if someone...
They'd be great on Pillow Talk.
Oh, that would be great.
They would be great.
They'd be great on Pillow. And Patrick says, but I don't... This is why I don't think she knows. Because this is when he really starts crying. He says, if Thais can understand how someone grew up, and he starts to break up, mm-hmm. and he says, it makes a big difference. And I don't think she knows.
Yeah.
Or I don't, maybe knows. Does she understand?
There was a little bit of an outtake that I got.
I just want to add it. I just want to say, because it's like, Kyle told Noon the way he grew up, and she didn't understand it.
Right.
And then she went and met his mother. God rest her soul. His mother's RIP. But when she met his mother, she totally got it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Thais is going to have this moment where she gets it on that show. I don't know.
There was a little.
Noon's a different person, though.
There was a little bit of an outtake at the end that I don't know if you guys saw it, but this is what he said. Patrick looks at John and says... Sorry, John looks at Patrick and says, you know what the best part of my day is? When I can when I get there, we're going to go out to drinking. And for 10 seconds, I think, maybe he's going to be gone. Maybe he's going to be fucking that Brazilian chick. And I'm thinking, yeah, you don't fucking know. You don't fucking know. That's the best 10 seconds of my day. Right there.
That's Good Will Hunting, Poodle.
Oh, that's when it's familiar. That's immediately what I thought of with this scene.
Somebody was going, I don't remember that part.
Carl!
Nigel!
They're talking about, is it a problem with our telly? Chauncey, go get your daddy.
It really is. Talk about just the highest stakes on this show when we talk about
that. Oh, my God.
It's just...
Could not be higher.
Man, I want both of those guys to find happiness and to just know that they're enough. Patrick and John, I would hug you. Patrick would let me hug you. John would say, get the fuck away from me.
I love it.
But you know what? And then we'd laugh about it and have a beer.
That's the deal. That's the show, y'all.
John is an easy guy to get along with if you just joke around with them.
Yep.
Sorry.
I agree.
Keep going on, because I love them. That is the show. Uh-oh.
What? I'm just
moving
around.
You're starting to move around your bed. You're getting wily. Y'all, we got to end this shit. Go to our Linktree link on our Instagram, in the show notes link. That's where you can buy tickets to see us in this summer. The shows by now, our meet and greet in London's already started and probably ended. So you're too late. But thank you all in advance to our London sissies that came out to that. We'll have more to report on that. I think that's it. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate it. Share the show with your friends. It's like Poodle said, he talked to someone they didn't even know, and they're like, I like your podcast.
Two people contact me on Instagram who like it.
So y'all sharing, caring, let them know. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love, poos, and all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you are a disaster at 23, call us. Just like that.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lying designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
caboose? Men flock to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.